your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 5, and we're doing a little different today. And so on Sunday evenings, I've been preaching some messages on my son from the book of Proverbs, and I came upon my son in Proverbs that basically covers parts of three different chapters and some other parts in there. And it was probably more than you wanted to be here for in one evening. And so I'm splitting this one into a Sunday morning, Sunday evening. So next week I plan on, if God so leads, I plan on being back on the dealing with our inner self a little bit. I've got a few more areas I want to deal with in that. But today we're going to look at my son and protection from the strange woman. So this is a message that is largely toward young men that are here today. But it is a message that we never need to forget as older men, because older men fall into sin too, and older men need protection from wickedness as well. And this is also a good message for young ladies, and it's a good message for parents as they guide their young men and their young ladies along this path and this process. So what we want to do, boy, the Word of God is there for us. It's timeless. It's there. And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 5. Let me read through the chapter to get the context of this passage. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. That's the idea of, boy, I want to listen closely. I want to bow that ear in. I can't quite hear you. When Jordan's introduced himself to me today, I had a little trouble hearing his name the first time. So what did I do? I bowed my ear, and he said it again, and I got it the second time. And so we look at that. That thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own wells. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. This is instruction of a father who is looking to guide his son. And it almost appears that this son may even be a young married individual. And he's reminding him, you've got a wife, stay away from the strange woman. Let me, just before we pray, strange in the Bible, there are strange gods. That is any god that's not the God. And God says, those are strange gods to you. He talks about strange wives in the Bible. He talks about strange women in the Bible. Talks about strange doctrine in the Bible. Strange countries. Strange cities. In Zephaniah, it talks about strange apparel. And in Jude, it talks about strange flesh, referring to a sodomite type situation. So you've got some different things in the Bible that are described as strange, but a strange woman, if you'll just grasp this simple definition, A strange woman is any woman that is not your wife. Okay, so she is to you the stranger. You may know her, you may be an acquaintance with her, but she's not yours. This strange woman that's not your wife, she would give away to you or others those things which should be retained for her husband. Now, not every woman would fit the characteristics of this strange woman. But just from a perspective, young people, if a woman is not your wife, she does not belong to you. Her lips, her hands, her body do not belong to you. And if you end up, you say, well, we're dating or we're courting or we're doing this. She's not your wife. And men and women who are married, you have one wife. That is your wife. No other woman belongs to you. And we'll get into some of that in a little bit. But just remember this. There has been no vow taken in marriage pledging yourselves to one another. So young men, keep yourselves pure. Young ladies, keep yourselves pure. Keep yourselves from going into sin. Keep yourselves from giving yourself to someone who is not your husband or not your wife. And there's warning throughout the scriptures. We're going to look this morning at the fact that a wife and the blessing of a marriage relationship are from the Lord. And secondly, we'll look at the law of the Lord and the rules of parents for your protection. Then tonight we'll have two more points dealing with the characteristics of the strange woman and the end result of that. And look, this is a desire to help you. Anybody here say, I want to go out into fornication, I want to go commit adultery? I hope not. So what happens is we've set up protections to keep us from those sins of the flesh, because how many have a flesh here today? Yeah, every single one of us have a flesh, and how many of your flesh is capable of sin? So how many of us need to protect our flesh from getting into circumstances where we could fall into sin? You know, that's all of us. And so this will be a help to all of you today. Parents guiding young people, newly married, older people. Just may God help us to look at this. Let's pray. Father, I ask, your word is there to guide us. Father, we're preaching today to people as Christian people. Maybe there's someone here today that does not yet know you as Savior. It is our true desire that every person listening today would know you as Savior. We desire that. But Father, the message today is mostly for those who are saved, who want to live a Christian life. And God, I pray that you would help us protect our church. Father, we've seen through the years failures and fallings, and God, we pray that you would protect us and help us, Lord, to be faithful in this manner and the instruction that you give us here in your word. We need your help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, a wife and the blessings of a marriage relationship are from the Lord. Let's look again, Proverbs 5, verse 15 through 19. He says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, running waters out of thine own well. He's referring to a man and his wife. He says, that man belongs to you, that woman belongs to you. You know, that's the woman that you're going to have a relationship with. That's the woman that you grow together with. You don't do that. Any other woman is a strange woman. You don't go to that well. You go to your wife. It says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and the rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not a stranger's with thee. You know, you protect your family. You say, look, this is my wife. She doesn't belong to anybody else. And a wife would say, this is my husband. He doesn't belong to anybody else. My wife has occasionally pointed out, she's like, you know, that woman's a flirt. Be careful of that. And, you know, that's a good warning. It's a good thing to be warned about. But it's like, hey, you keep that. You have a relationship, and that relationship is yours together and no one else's. And boy, our society is not on board with that today, but God is. Amen. And the Word of God is. It continues on. It says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You know what? My wife is the wife of my youth. We were married almost 29 years ago. That's a long time. Yeah, but you look at that. She's the wife of my youth. I'm supposed to rejoice with her. Now, we're not so young anymore. She's still the wife of my youth. See, this trading in wives for a different model that our society does so much, this divorce and remarriage stuff that's out there, God's saying, look, stay together. Keep your relationship together. Rejoice with that woman. Don't be flirting with a different woman at the office. You've got a wife. And young people, look toward a good wife and look toward a good husband. And you need to be focused on that and remember that. And then it says, verse 19, let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and let thou be ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Look, you have a wife. She's your wife. Stay away from all strange women. Young men, stay away from pornography. Stay away from women that are going to put themselves and put their uncovered naked bodies out there for you to see or the whole world to see. That's a strange woman. Boy, we need to keep our eyes and keep ourselves pure from strange women because, look, I understand in the society in which the Bible was written, this was just an active thing, but we live in a strange world. And that world is full of the opportunities for young people to look at things they ought not look at. And they can get it on their phones, on their computers. They can get it on through television or whatever else it be. And when you look and gaze upon someone who is not your wife, you're sinning against God. And so we need to protect our eyes with that. When you get a wife, she's your wife. She's the one that you enjoy your relationship with. She's the one you hold her hand. She's the one that you kiss. Only her. She's the one that you hug and embrace. She's your wife. Before you're married, you don't do that because she's not your wife. How many of you know somebody that was engaged and they ended up not getting married? Okay, multiple people, right? So that man eventually became someone else's wife or husband. Yeah, that goes with weird society today. That man became someone else's husband, and that woman became someone else's wife. Now, what if they'd all gotten into a relationship prior to getting married? Well, I'm going to marry her. You don't know that. We had a young man and a young lady when I was in college. They broke off their engagement the week before they got married. Now, that's not the norm, but it happens. And look, if you get to a week before married and you realize this is not the right guy for me or this is not the right gal for me, break it off. You're better to break it off and find the right one. But see, that's the whole thing. Until you have stood and taken those marriage vows, she doesn't belong to you. Okay, would it be okay for me or one of the men that are married here to go and hold the hand or hug or kiss another person's wife within the church? No, that's his wife and you've got your wife. That works before you're married too. See, God has some instructions for this. So, Proverbs 18:22, and I'll just read the verse. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." It's a great thing to get married. And guys, you come to a certain age, be on the lookout. Now that age is not 14 and 15. You are not ready to be married at 15 years old. I don't know any 15-year-olds that have a job that they can provide for a young lady and children. Now, we've got some people that maybe were married very early back in the old days. And it was a little bit different society back then. And you know what? Hey, great. I believe the Blummers were married young. They're here still together today, right? Isn't that a blessing? Now they're in their 80s or thereabouts. I don't know exact age anymore. But they've been married a long time. And you know what? They got married young, but he realized, you know what? I am taking on a responsibility. I am going to provide for this young lady. I'm going to provide for the children that God gives us. It's my responsibility. He wasn't going to mom and dad for handouts afterwards, right? You know, you have to be able to provide. And so be on the lookout. Don't rush it. Seek God, but be on the lookout. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And we'll deal with that more a little bit later. But marriage is honorable in all. It's a gift from God. It's designed by God from the first man and the first woman. And God created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. Marriage is one man, one woman for one lifetime. The only time remarriage is acceptable in God's eyes is when one of the two die. And just hold on to that. God designed it. God gave it. And it is a beautiful, wonderful gift, and we need to remember that it is a wonderful gift from God, and God can provide for you a husband or a wife. Wait on God. Wait on God's timing on it. But at the same time, if you're getting to be that age, watch, observe, pay attention, and God will help you with that. The second thing today is this. The law of the Lord and the rules of parents are for protection. They are not to say, well, they just don't want me to have fun. Any parent ever looked at it and just sat back and says, I'm going to set up some rules because I don't want my child to have fun? Anybody? Brother Tanksley, you? No? Anybody else? No, of course not. That is not the goal. What is it? You set up rules for protection, right? You can't go play in the street. You can play in this whole yard, but you can't go play in the street. Well, you just don't want me to have fun. No, I don't want you to die. I don't want some car to come and hit you and squish you. So rules are for protection. They're because we love you. Do you think God's rules, that God looked down and says, I just want to make your life miserable? That's not God. God created things, but he created it. And when we look tonight, and I hope that you'll come back tonight because the two messages go together. But you look at it, and God created this. And if we go outside of God's bounds, it says the ends thereof are death. So the law of the Lord and the rules of the parents are for protection. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 1 and then at verse 16. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And then he goes through quite a bit of scripture and he comes to verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know, young men, there's going to come somebody sometime along. I never really had this problem that someone, if you're as ugly as I am, you don't get a whole lot of people coming up trying to swoo you in. But some of you young men that are more handsome, you might have a young lady come up and boy, she's just trying to get a hold of you and you're just the handsomest thing since, I don't even know what to say. But you look at it and they use flattering words. Well, what happens? Instructions of the parents. Watch out for this kind of a woman. Be careful of this kind of woman. Now, tonight we'll look at the characteristics of the strange woman as described in the Bible. I'm not going to take the time this morning to go into that. But the parents' instructions are there. And they're there, my son, I want to keep you from a life full of heartache. I want to keep you from a life full of damage. You know, the Bible says it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. You know, there's some people that they got married to somebody and love is blind, and they did not see what they were getting into. And then they got into it, and that man just says, I'm going to go up into my attic and I'm going to make me a man den. God forbid that men would have to go have a man cave to escape from a brawling wife or a wife that's just constantly nag, 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 nag. Don't drive your husbands to a corner of a housetop. But boy, man, you need to know who you're marrying before you get married. And ladies too. Look, we've all seen situations where somebody came in, some young man comes in and pretends to be this good Christian young man, and as soon as he gets married, he's no longer in church. As soon as he gets married, he's no longer reading his Bible. You say, what happened? All I have to say is, it must have been a pretender. Something took his heart away from it. Well, we have to be cautious about who we marry. Because when you get married, you know what? You think, oh, it's going to be so great. We're going to go on a honeymoon. How about 50 years later? Some of you have been married a long, long time. You ever have any arguments? No. I got a few nods no. I mean, you got to be kidding me. But we look at this and we understand this. You are choosing a life mate for as long as you live. And suicide and murder are not options. Okay? You're there with that. So think about that. Boy, talk to people. Get advice. But the parent says, I'm giving you instructions to keep you from being taken by the wrong woman. It could work the other way too. A young lady can come in. They can pretend to be everything in order to get that young man. And then once they get the young man, it's like, oh, I don't have those standards anymore. Boy, you have to be careful. And so you look at it and you get into the beginning stages of that relationship. You need to know, what does this person believe? Who are they right now? Don't look at how they're changing for you. Because if they change for you in that relationship, they may very quickly change back once they actually have you. And two things here. I'm not trying to scare you to death this morning. But I am trying to scare you to death. I'm trying to help you realize this is going to be for life. This is a major decision. Proverbs 5, 1 through 3. My son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. There's going to be somebody come along, and boy, they're going to talk the talk. And again, this is addressed to a young man, but it's also for young ladies. Somebody going to come along, and they're going to sweet talk you, and they're going to tell you you're the greatest guy or you're the greatest girl, and all the things that they love about you. And just remember, all of that is not necessarily going to stay exactly the same after you get married. You better know what they believe. So the instructions are given in order to protect you from the wrong kind of person. Anybody ever hear the word Twitter-pated? Anybody ever see somebody that's Twitter-pated? You know what? You see somebody that's Twitter-pated, they're not all there. Okay, now they're doing their best. But love is blind. So what do you need? You need to be going, Mom and Dad, what do you think about this person? Hey, Pastor, what do you think about this person? Hey, you know what? And people are going to assess their answer based on who you are, too. But, you know, look at it. Hey, deacon in the church, what do you think about this? What kind of advice is there on this? We need to be thinking about that. Verse 12 and 13, when the young man failed to listen, here is his response when it doesn't turn out well. Verse 12 and 13, and say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Here's a man who he went after the strange woman. It didn't turn out well, and it never will. And he says, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I obey? Why did I let the flesh get involved instead of talking and keeping our relationship on a spiritual level prior to marriage and enjoy then the physical level after marriage? Why didn't I get to know more of who they were, what their passions were, what their ideas were, what they think about things, what their relationship with God is? That's what I need to know before I marry that person. Not how handsome they are. And so when it doesn't turn out well because you didn't listen to instruction, you're going to come back later and you're going to be saying, oh, woe is me. I really blew it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 24. Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 24. My son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually on thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. What's talking? The teaching of mom and dad, which had better be the teaching of the scriptures. Mom and dad, you're instructing. Let me read further. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproof of instruction are the way of life to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So there's parental instruction to keep you from falling for the wrong person. Oh, but she's so pretty. What is her character like? Oh, but he makes a lot of money. What is his character like? You go after the right thing. So parents, parents, this is for you. You need to be giving the instruction. What kind of things do you put in place to protect your sons and your daughters? I have down here, and I'm going to give it to the young people if I printed enough copies. This is commitments in courtship. And just some good, basic Bible helps and instructions. Why? To help you not to fall into sin. To help you not to get so involved that you can't see who the person really is because of the lust of a physical relationship. We need instruction. Parents, set up guidelines. You let that young man know, you are not allowed to touch my daughter. She's not your wife. If ultimately you get married, then she's your wife. You know what? When you walk down that aisle and you step up on the platform and the preacher says, after you've said the vows, you may kiss the bride, that's when you can kiss her. Not before. Why? She's not your wife. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman, but let every man then have his own wife. And we need to follow, parents, we need to follow the scriptures. We need to enforce and reinforce the scriptures in our homes because it's the scriptures. Did you notice the wording here? Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. You want your young person, when approached by the wrong kind of person, you want them looking and saying, what did mom and dad say? What was that Bible verse they told me? Oh yeah, 1 Corinthians 7:1. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Oh yeah, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. I need to watch out. This woman doesn't dress right. I shouldn't be going after that. It's not right. Boy, this one here, she's unstable. Boy, I got to look at that character. We'll get into the characteristics tonight. The warnings about that. But parents, give the instructions. Well, wait a minute. I can't be alone because, you know what? If I'm alone with them, there's two things that happen. One, I might be tempted to sin, and I may not be able to resist. Anybody have a flesh? Two, how about their honor? How about their honor? Can they walk down the aisle and stand up here and say, hey, this is their first kiss? Well, if you're alone together, how do you know? Right? Can't say that. Especially with any, you can't dogmatically say it. And so you call into question the honor of the young lady or the young man. And boy, men, we ought to want to retain the honor of that young lady. Boy, we're in a wicked society. People use and throw people away, and just the wickedness. And anymore, it's both. It used to be you'd think of men as sometimes getting perverted and stuff. Women are every bit as much perverted in our society. And thankfully, not all. And I'm not saying all. I'm just saying the wicked society is getting more and more wicked. So we want to follow God's instructions. Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flat earth with her words. Do you notice the pattern here? I'm giving you instructions. These instructions are to keep you from falling for the wrong kind of woman, from falling for the wrong kind of man. Look, parents, you got to lay out the instructions. There's a good sample set of instructions right down here, and we pretty much held to this set of instructions. It's a PDF. I got it from someone else. I did not create it, but it's good. And you look at it and say, but you know what? If you want to start out and have a great marriage, get this. Really form that relationship around spiritual things. Really protect yourself. Instead of picking up pieces later, Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, verse 22 through 28. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Again, here's instructions. Son, be careful. There's strange women out there. Daughter, be careful. There's strange men out there. Boy, you want somebody that's going to be the right kind of person. Now, you get married, you make it work. You make it work. And that takes two people doing it. You do what it takes. But boy, it's so much better to marry right and do things right. And so we need to set a good example. We'll finish with Proverbs 7, 7 through 9. Here's an observation that takes place. Verse 6, he says, I looked through my casement. He's looking out the window. He says, I beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. The simple is a person in the Bible who lacks discernment, who lacks instruction. And that's all. The Bible tells us to be simple concerning evil and wise concerning good. So the simple person here is the person, he was never warned. Either that, or maybe he was warned, but he didn't take heed to it. And so he goes out there, and he goes out. Now look what he's doing. He is undiscerning. He's going out in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Where should people be in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night? Home! If you work second shift or you work midnights, okay, you've got to do what you got to do to provide for your family. But I'll tell you what, the best place you should be in the black and dark night, home. Home. He was simple. He thought, it's not going to hurt me to go out through the black and dark night. It's not going to hurt me to go down this particular street. Behold, there met him. By the way, it says verse 8, passing through the street near her corner. Almost gives the idea that he knew what was on that corner. You know what? I'm just going to casually go by this corner. You know why we stay out of bars and clubs and all of those kind of things? Because that's where simple people go. We know. How many have a flesh? Yeah. So if I stay away from the places where strange women are, if I stay away from the places where alcohol are, etc., then I've got a better chance of doing right. So we've got simple, undiscerning night roamers that lack understanding. And they go out and they get themselves in trouble because there's somebody out there for everybody. I look at some people, I look at some men, and I think, how in the world did that guy ever get together with a girl? There's somebody out there that will take anything. And vice versa. Yes, and that's a good thing. Especially for Brother Schrock. Now, she wouldn't take anything. She looked for good, solid character and just put up with the looks, okay? But that's what he's saying, okay? That was not a slam on his wife. It just took anything. No, he's a good man. Grab this, please, and come back tonight. We'll get the rest of it because there's a lot more in 5, 6, and 7 that we'll look at. But it's a warning. My son, protection from the strange woman. Protection from the strange woman. And if you want to, look, if you want the right kind of person, you've got to be the right kind of person. You can't, mess around all through your teenage years and then all of a sudden, well, I want the best godly girl out there. It doesn't work like that. You do right to get a right person. Or some young lady just goose off, dates everybody along the way, and then when it's time to get married, oh, now I want a good guy. That's not the way it works. Need to stay the course, follow the scriptures, do what's right, take the instruction of the parents. God being our help, because any single one of us are capable of falling. There's none of us incapable of sin. And we need God's help. All of us do. This isn't just for young people. It's for everybody. I'm going to do the invitation this way today. Anybody that needs to come and pray, come and pray. But I'd like to ask the young men, would you come and pray? Maybe young ladies. And just ask God to give you guidance, instruction, help. Ask God to help you be the person you ought to be and give you the person you're supposed to have. And when you come down here, take one of these papers, take it home, read it through, talk to your parents about it, get instruction and guidance. This is for you. This isn't, the pastor just wants to tell us what to do. This is for you. How many know some people that got into sin, they didn't want to, but the flesh overcame them? I know plenty. I know plenty. And so it's for protection. And you ought to want to protect yourself, but you also ought to want to protect the person that you're courting. And look at that. Say, I want to get to that marriage altar, and both of us have our honor that's there. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray that you would take this message from your word today, and God, that your scripture would just really work in our hearts. God, help us to be closer to you, and God, protect all of us. We need this. We need to be reminded of these things. God, I pray you just work in hearts now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if you got something to pray about, would you come and pray? Talk to the Lord. Ask God to help you be who you ought to be. It's sad how many young people, they get into relationships as teenagers and end up losing their purity, and they live with regret throughout life. It doesn't have to be that way. And do be praying. Pray for our young people. I guarantee you they live in a harder world right now than what we grew up in. I guarantee it. And I'll say that I pray more for my kids now than I did when they were little and growing up. I do. Because you can never take it for granted that everything's just going to be exactly right by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So, young people, grab these. If someone, those are here all the time. If there's not enough, I can print some more. You can get them from me. But take these. Read through them. At least take it, read through it, consider it, pray about it. Okay? Look, I don't control your relationships. I can't. And you know what? God gives you the liberty of choosing and making choices. But out of our heart's desire for God, would you at least take it, read it, consider it, for your own protection and the protection of your future spouse. It's good. It'd be good to read, consider. Parents, if you want a copy, I can print as many as we need. So take them, grab them. There's a few here. They're good for us. If you're a teenager, 15 and older, you ought to take that. And if you're a parent of a teenager, you can take the same copy and both of you read it. In fact, it'd be good for parents and young people to read through it together. Talk about it. Talk about it. We have to be communicating. We have to be talking. Okay, and you know, some of you may have been doing that all the way up. Okay, you know, you may be set and good, but a refresher doesn't hurt from time to time. I know I do plenty of talking from the pulpit, preaching on that, but there's times we just need to talk about things, okay? Father, we are grateful for all that you do for us. We're thankful for visitors being here today. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that our church may be a help to them. And that we know that your word's a help. And so, God, as we gather here together, your word will help. And I know that you can help our young people to live right in a wicked world. God, I pray that you would guide us. Give us your wisdom and your strength. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come back tonight for the second half.